Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here's your host, Dr. Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director of CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thanks for listening to Telling Future Generations. This week, we're continuing to air the next segment in Dr. Brian Chappell's powerful message, Celebrating Generations, which he shared at our fall fundraiser for Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Dr. Chappell, in the opening part of his message, shared the bad news verse of why it is so difficult in our culture for our children and young people to stand for Christ, and how there has been a paradigm shift of what capital T truth is that has deteriorated and changed from one generation to another. Let's pick up where Dr. Chappell left off as he explains that what you or your parents or even your grandparents once believed to be true about God, Jesus, and the Bible, or absolute standards of morality, have shifted and changed in our culture today like sinking sand. But remember, Dr. Chappell's purpose in sharing this bad news first is to ultimately highlight the good news, the hope of the gospel that needs to be shared, especially with a generation of children and the youth now, to shine the gospel light in the milieu of darkness and to point them to Christ. We hope you're encouraged today as you listen to the continuation of Dr. Brian Chappell's message, Celebrating Generations.
Now, for you, the general age in this room, you kind of believe, many of you would believe all those things, right? Jesus is the only way of salvation. The Bible is entirely true. Same-sex attraction is wrong. You're to be married forever, and premarital sex is wrong. Your grandchildren do not universally believe that. And most of their friends do not believe all those things. And if they do, Al Mohler, president of Southern Baptist Seminary, says, you are not just belittled anymore. You are bad if you believe those things. You are intolerant, you are mean and bigoted if you believe those things. For a child to be a faithful Christian in today's culture not only means they have heard the gospel, it means they have made courageous choices. In this church, I respect so much of what people are doing for the next generation. Some is just evident in the room that we are in. You know, provision for young people. But provision for young people, dedication to them, so many of the high schoolers who are believers should be the heroes of our church today. It is so much more difficult for them to stand for their faith than it was this generation, right? We were maybe belittled. You know, Sunday school Johnny, goody two-shoes. But you were not hated for basic morality, which is the nature so much of our young people today. Part of the reason they feel so alone if they are trying to live the Christian life, if they even hear what it means to be a Christian, is we are also experiencing the loss of the mature in the church. This is highly accelerated after COVID. So during COVID, we experienced what? The great American church shuffle. You know, everybody was gone, so you could actually leave the church or go to another church without being missed, or without the pastor getting mad, or without your friends feeling rejected. And so we began to have the great American church shuffle. Now, across the United States, evangelical church, we're back roughly at 80%. So, Katrina, it's not just child evangelism. That's, you know, you were at 80 and you're at 65. Churches across the country, we are at about 80% of former attendance prior to COVID. But here's what we recognize. In any church setting, in any church setting, you kind of, before COVID, you had three basic groups of people. You had those who, you know, the 40% that every church depends on, who are the highly committed, right? These are your officers, your Sunday school teachers. These are your volunteers. These are the ones who set up CEF banquets, right? The 40% that these are the highly committed. And every church, and you need them. There's another 40% in most churches. And they are not the highly committed. They are the consumers, right? Now, they're fairly regularly. And they appreciate the church service. But they do not feel responsible for the church. They want their kids to be in Sunday school. They want to hear a good sermon, right? But they're the consumers. And pretty much across the board, that's two basic groups, committed and consumers. The last group, maybe that 20%, are those who are there by social obligation or are truly seeking Jesus. They're not consumers. This is just a good thing to be in church. They're not just the highly committed. We want to make this thing go. They are the people who are in church because grandma wants them there. Or my boss wants me there. Or is this Jesus thing real? Post-COVID, that 20% is gone from the church. There is no longer a great seeking of Christ. Because church doors are perceived as intolerant, bigoted, bad. The new moral outlaws in the culture are church people. So why would I want to go to those people to find out what it means to be good and kind and polite, right? Or grandma doesn't insist that I go anymore. My boss certainly doesn't insist anymore. There's no social climbing that occurs because I go to church. So that 20% is just gone. There's another reason that so many people are gone who are mature, not just young people, the mature. Primary reason we lose the mature, I'm not meaning to hurt anybody, these are just real things that we deal with. Primary reason is divorce. So if you all know these figures, standard in our culture today. What percent of marriages do we say will come unglued through the course of a lifetime? What percent of marriages will come unglued, standard in American culture? 50%, that's a standard figure. 50% of marriages will come unglued. Now, there are people, pastors and organizations, well, maybe that's true in the culture, but that's not true of Christians, right? Particularly Bible-believing Christians. The most intense study in this has been done by Focus on the Family. And Focus on the Family says it's just not true that 50% of Bible-believing Christian marriages come undone. Only 37%. That's still a lot. And pastors and elders and church leaders, when marriages come undone, how comfortable do the spouses feel in the church they've been attending? Right? Pastors and elders, we're accustomed to this. You've poured yourself into trying to help a couple, and the marriage came undone anyway. And you're going down the street or you're going through a shopping mall and you see one of those members of that couple and they see you and they cross the street. It's not because they dislike you. It's because you make them feel ashamed or hurt or you give them bad memories. And the consequence is when you have 37% of people who have their marriages coming undone, those are a lot of people who are not going to be attending church. When do marriages tend to come unglued? If we're saying these are not young people, these are not teens, you know, when are these marriages coming undone? Three areas of marriage when marriages tend to come undone. First 5 years, right? First 5 years, highest incidence of when marriages come undone, first 5 years. What's the second most common time when a marriage comes undone? Empty nest. We stayed together for the kids. Now the kids aren't here. You know when the last most frequent time is? Retirement. I'd live with that man, but I don't have to be buried with him. And little dependable income? Retirement. Now, this is not young people. These are the mature. Post-COVID, every age group came back to church in smaller numbers, except one. Okay? So every age group came back in smaller numbers. Elementary school came back in smaller numbers. High schoolers came back in smaller numbers. College came back in smaller numbers. Boomers came back in smaller numbers. Builders came back in, the greatest generation didn't come back as much after COVID. Boomers, my generation, didn't come back as much after COVID. You know the only generation that came back in greater numbers after COVID? Millennials, having children, they're here. We have children now, and we've got a culture who's coming unglued. My child now isn't sure what gender he or she is. My child isn't sure what gender he, she should relate to. And we have scared millennials who came back to the church in greater numbers after COVID. Only generation that has. By the way, it's the only generation that grew by virtue of video streaming. Always in the church during COVID, we debated, right? Do we video stream? What about when we can come back? Do we keep video streaming? Millennials more came to the church for the first time through video streaming than ever had come before. Why? They're so comfortable with technology. So what millennials did, so comfortable with technology, you know, my kids are getting a little older, and I can kind of not have to go to a church property or through a church door or face all those holier-than-thou people. I'll just watch online. 20% more millennials started attending church by streaming than had ever gone to church before. And now they are back in greater number because they've got kids and they are scared for their children. Why is CEF so important? Listen, you have opposition in the schools, you have opposition in the government, you have opposition, but you have millennial parents who want their children to be safe. And it's also, by the way, the millennials' children, the greatest generation of anxiety that we've ever had. Greater depression, greater suicide, greater anxiety. And millennial parents are saying, it's what you said. Can you just come and help us out? I mean, I'm not sure what you're doing, but if Jesus will help my anxious, afraid 14-year-old, by all means, you know, come in. Let's hear what it is. And you all have means to support those who can go into the schools and work with the children of these questioning parents who actually want something that will help their children in this culture.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the message of hope that Dr. Chappell shared that evening at a recent CEF fall fundraiser. Our culture is bleak and growing darker in many ways, but the light and the hope of the gospel has not been put out. Many young people and parents of children are turning to the church and to Christian ministry organizations like CEF for answers. But ultimately, our only answer is not found in our ministry programs that we offer either in the church or outside the church, like in the after-school Good News Clubs that meet in the public schools, but ultimately to point these parents and their children to the only one who is the answer and who is the only hope, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We hope you join us again next week as we continue Dr. Brian Chappell's message, Celebrating Generations, that compels us to understand the necessity of why we must share the good news of Christ now with this current generation of children and youth. For Christ is the answer, and Christ alone is our only hope for all people, for all nations, and for all generations. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.